Welcome to Go To Gal, episode number 240. As always, I'm your host, Jacqueline Malone, and today we are talking Instagram. We are talking social media strategy, specifically for Instagram and specifically for 2022, because heaven knows that Instagram just changes every 5 seconds. So let's keep it up to date. And joining us today is Sophia Parra. Now, I met Sophia recently at a virtual event and just hit it off right away. I adore her energy, and what she brings to the social media conversation is so just, it feels good to me. It's like, okay, this is inspiring. I can wrap my head around this. I know I've been lamenting about social media for a while on here, and we do have another episode coming up that's going to tackle this whole social media burnout. Like, what are we doing? What's actually working? How can we put some fresh energy into this? I know how powerful social media can be, and so it's important for me to be having these conversations for you on this podcast, but I also want to be genuine about it because personally, I have been pretty burnt out on social. So maybe these conversations can be a little self-serving in terms of inspiring me into action. We will see. This conversation with Sophia, though, really sparked some interest for me because of how her approach is so different than just content, 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 and really understanding the algorithm in a different level than I had heard before. So I'm really excited to share this with you. I'm not going to tease you anymore. Let me formally introduce you to Sophia, and then we'll dive in. Sophia is a social media strategist with a proven record for increasing a brand's following, engagement, and reach. Her clients have tripled attendance at their free events, gone from 800 followers to 50,000 followers, increased opportunities for podcasts, magazines, and even TV features. And at the top of 2020, one of her clients had a six-figure launch from her direct messages. She's also the creator of the online subscription, What the Heck to Post, where she helps members stop falling victim to the algorithm, and was most recently seen talking DM strategy on Forbes. All right, well, we're going to update that to talking DM strategy on GoToGal podcast. Without further ado, here is my conversation with Sophia. Sophia, so excited to have you here today.
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited to be here. This is so fun.
It is. And I'm like, okay, we're going to record a podcast.
We've already been talking for like how long?
Like too long. There's too much going on in the world that we needed to discuss in detail. Yes. All right. Well, before we dive in, take us back in time to when you were growing up. What were you the go-to gal for back then?
Oh my God, this is such a fun question, I have to say. And I feel like my answer is not going to make me look so good. But so there's two things that really come to mind. And the first one is I was the go-to gal for like anything drama in a previous life, like in this life, but in a previous life. I was an actor. I actually started my adulthood in New York City as an actor. I was on TV and plays, things like that. And as a kid, I would put on shows for the neighborhood. I would sell my little Post-its, which was their tickets, right? It's like a nickel, right? And I would put on literally every weekend, I would direct plays. I'd put on plays. I put on a one-woman show of some play with multiple characters, and I played all the characters. I was just like, that's what I was the go-to gal for. You know, if you want to be entertained, go to Sophia. And then of course I became an actor. But then as I got a little bit older, I noticed that I was someone that people would go to if they were feeling, and I love this about, this is something that I actually feel proud of because I feel like I can see where that's come into my life now. I was very motivational. Like I didn't have a lot of life experience, but people felt like if they were feeling doubt about something, they could come to me for a pep talk. And I was like, just really honored to be that person. So I really value those people in my life today. And I'm just happy and hope that I'm still that person for others as well.
I have a good feeling that you are. Like from our time getting to know each other, I definitely feel that pep talk energy from you immediately.
Oh, good. I'm glad. I'm glad.
I can see that for sure. All right. So fast forward to today. Tell us, what do you do and who do you help?
Oh, thank you for asking that question. So I help coaches get clients on social media. That's the simplest way to say that. But I help them through content strategy and relationship building strategy. I think that when you're a social media strategist, there is a lot of focus on creating content. But I think through that, there's been this message of content is king. And I think that we have forgotten that actually relationship is king. We create content to build relationships. But in today's day and age, when algorithms are the way that they are, and when there's just such a saturation, or we can talk about what saturation, how that doesn't always have to be a problem. But of course, there are a lot of people on social media, and we forget that the relationship is what helps our content actually work for us. So I really help people systematize relationships so that it feels like a task they can actually do. Because if I just tell someone, hey, go build relationships on social media, they're like, what the heck does that even mean? I respond to comments, like I'm there all the freaking time. What else do you want from me, right? When it actually, I think, needs to be a little bit more strategic and consistent, as well as just like something you can tick off the list and know what you do when you show up to build relationships. So I'm the go-to gal for creating systems around those. And I do that through my membership, What the Heck to Post.
Okay. I'm obsessed with the name of your membership, What the Heck to Post. Oh, and I love this topic. I have been so burned out on social media these past few years, and probably before the past few years too.
Yeah.
Oh, I feel like at the start of stories, I was like, what? Like, I didn't sign up for this.
Totally. Oh
like,
my God.
Can I deny this feature? Like, what? What is this? I feel like stories came out this summer that I had my son, and I'm like, I'm not showering. Like, what
oh
is
God.
This? I need to be on video now. Oh, it's been a long time that this burnout has been. It's been a slow burn. Oh, but I love, for me, relationships are what motivate me. Relationships are where I see things going. As things get saturated, that's such a way to stand out, and being able to connect that dot with content is so important. So I really appreciate your philosophy with this, and I'm excited to dive in a little bit more here of what does this mean and how do we do this?
Yeah.
So let's just kick off by zooming out a little bit on, okay, state of social, we're, you know, fall 22 here. I feel like I need to like anchor in the time because things change.
Good
things
idea.
Change quite a lot, right?
Yeah.
but what's your overall, I don't know, just perspective of where things are with social media right now? And,
yeah.
and what's your philosophy with what our approach or our thought process should be about it?
Yeah. So first of all, I think that, and I kind of just like alluded to this, right? If there's a lot of messaging that's like content is king. This is where I think the burnout comes from. We are showing up every single day to pump out a bunch of different content, and not just what we're posting on our feed, but our Instagram stories. And now our reels are something different. And we share emails, and we have YouTube videos, and we have podcasts. And there's so much content creation because content is king, content is king. And yes, we have repurposing systems, and we talk about all these other ways to balance this all out. But what we are forgetting is without the relationship, without someone feeling comfortable enough to talk to you, your conversion rate after a period is going to start to dip because there are so many people out there creating a lot of this similar content. So for me, when I coach people, I'm really trying to look at, okay, where is the anchor here? Where are you training people to actually talk to you? And so for me, I start that out right at the beginning. I'm like, when I get a new follower, I have, you know, I call these like follow-up Fridays. Every Friday, I have it in my calendar. I'm going to send a welcome DM to my brand new follower. And I'm going to say something like, hey, Jacqueline, I'm so excited you're here. I see that you're a coach. Like, I help coaches get clients on social media. And you know, I'm just going to be honest with you. I don't want to be just some random social media person that you're following. Like, I want you to actually get something out of this page, even if you never buy from me. Okay. So just out of curiosity, I've got lots of tools and resources. All of them are free. Which one sounds like you? A, I post all the time. I never get clients. B, I struggle getting consistent. C, I have never gotten a client on here. Whatever it is, like different things. Here's the thing. On my end, all of these lead to a lead magnet. So whether they reply with A or C or D, it doesn't matter. I know where I'm going to lead them to. Now, for me, that means when they reply, I have a lead magnet to share with them. But if let's say I'm, you know, this was a few years ago, I only had one lead magnet, right? I can pick my letters that would still lead to that lead magnet, but come at it from different angles, right? Or I could share content that I shared 3 months ago. Or I could share a podcast episode that I was on. Or I could just have a tip that I could just share right there. The point here right now is if I can get them on my email list, fantastic, because obviously we want to build that. But if I can't, I want to build a comfort level between me and this person. I want this person to feel like they can talk to me because I give an F about their success. Because the problem with this is We are following a bunch of people. None of them are talking to us. So yeah, we might like their content, but this is why we're creating followers and not loyalists. But the idea here is that we're creating some kind of a relationship. I want that person to feel like when they have a social media problem, they feel able to talk to me. So that's how I start a relationship. That way, someone's going to respond. They're going to say, hey, Sophia, I struggle with A. Now I can say, oh my gosh, I've got a great thing for you. I've got a PDF. It's 12 strategies to help you get your next client on social. And it's designed specifically for people who are posting and responding to comments because I think that's how to build relationships, but they're not doing anything else. Do you want me to send you the link? Of course, they're going to be like, wow, thank you so much for your generosity. Now they're on my email list. Now, 1 week time, I'm going to follow up with that person. I'm going to say, hey, Jacqueline, last week you said that you were struggling with getting clients on social. How did you find my lead magnet? Or I'm not going to call it that. How did you find my PDF? And they're going to say, oh my gosh, one of two things. Thank you so much for following up with me. That's so kind of you. You know what? I haven't had a chance to look at it yet. It's just been so busy. Because let's be real, this happens all the time. People download our lead magnets and forget all about us, right? So this gives them some accountability. And they're like, this is what I always hear. But since you followed up with me, I'm so grateful for that. I will take a look at it. And now I'm actually holding them accountable to absorb my content and learn something. And then they come back, we have a conversation. Sometimes they have a conversation. Seriously, so often this right here turns into a conversion because there's been some kind of a touch that's not just a like on a post or not just some passive, I don't know, hi, thanks for welcoming me, bye. And I never talk to this person again. Now, if I share something 3 months ago content, same thing. They might not be on my lead magnet, but I've still provided some value. So right off the bat, my suggestion is do not wait for engagement. Ask yourself, and I have so many ideas on how to do this, but ask yourself, where can I create engagement? How can I actually teach people that I am here for them? I'm creating content for them. When we build this touch, this is not just for the person. This is for the algorithm because the algorithm thrives on relationships. If we can demonstrate where we have relationships, every time you post, that person you just had a conversation with is going to be the first one who sees your content. So if you're welcoming all your people and keeping track of the people that you're talking to, all of those people are going to see the content you post. That's how the algorithm works. I blabbed. How was that?
Oh my gosh. Okay. So much good stuff here to unpack. So one, what stands out to me, because I've seen welcome posts like that before. And a lot of times people ask very open-ended questions.
Yes.
And it can feel hard or overwhelming or even just almost too personal to like just get into a whole, yeah. You know, it's sometimes like, how's your week going? Like, what are you going to say to this random person, right?
Yes.
You know, or like, what do? You know, sometimes it's easy to explain. Sometimes it's not easy for people to explain, right? Maybe that's what they need help with. Or maybe they're just like, go look at my bio and figure it out, right?
Yes.
So the fact that you're creating this like choose your own adventure type of thing, and it's not, when somebody sees this, they see that you've taken the time to look at their profile because you did personalize it, but you're basically sending the same message to everyone. So you're not trying to pass this off as like your best buddies off the bat. You're leading with service like you would in an email, really.
Yes.
And so I really like that approach and how you're able to get to know them a little bit better, how to serve them better, and how that can kick things off. But the kicker here is that the algorithm loves this too.
Yes.
So, okay, I know you've explained this, but just can you just take that a little bit like, okay, what is the algorithm looking for? Because I feel like when we think about the algorithm, we think about likes and comments and maybe shares and saves. And I know the algorithm is a bit of a mystery, but yeah, tell us how the algorithm is thinking about relationships because this is interesting.
Yeah. Okay. I'm so glad that you asked this. And just to touch on what you just said about the open-ended questions, I just have to like acknowledge what you just said because I think this is important. People will miss this. This is why we're making it a multiple choice because now they can reply with a letter. It's easy to respond. They're going to know which one they are. And so make sure when you are giving your multiple choices, those are as specific as possible. I post all the time, but I don't get clients. Someone's going to know if that's them. So make sure that you're specific there. That is really how that's going to work for you. Okay. Back to your amazing question about how the heck the algorithm works. I get way too excited when I talk about the algorithm. Okay.
I feel like you might be the only one.
I know. It's so
weird. And that's why I love having you here for this. You are the perfect person to bring this positive algorithm energy to us all. Yes.
Well, For years, I taught a class called How to Hack the Algorithm, right? Like that was like how I help people get to know me. And I don't tell people a lot of this a lot of the time, but I was actually trained by what I call the dark side of social media, right? I'm one of those people that used to work for the other team and now I'm like on the good side. And by that, the other team, I mean like the bots, the people that basically ruin social media. When I realized what was going on with bots, right? I shut down that side of my business and I moved into how to create true relationships because I was like, oh my God, this is part of the problem. It just took me a little bit to realize that. But this is why I feel like very informed about the algorithm, because those bots, that's how they were able to operate, because they figured out how things worked and that's how they knew where to show up and this and that. So all of that to say, that's just some backstory and why I hope you feel like you can, whoever's listening can trust that I've looked at this from a lot of different angles. And how the algorithm works is it thrives, I'm going to say relationship, but let me define that. Yes, it thrives on engagement and all that stuff, but the job of the algorithm is to keep someone on the platform as long as possible. Okay. That's why the algorithm exists. It serves people content based off of what it has shown interest in. Now, the big myth here is that that's about likes and comments and like physical touches that the content creator can actually see, but actually it goes beyond that. So for example, let's say you create a carousel. And someone, you know, maybe someone doesn't like or comment, but they swipe through a few of them and then they keep scrolling. According to the algorithm, you have demonstrated interest in this. Yes, you did not like it. Yes, you didn't comment. However, you did not scroll past it. This piece of content helped you stay on the platform longer, which means that content creator is going to be rewarded for creating content that kept you on. And the next time that person posts, you are very likely to see their content. So our job as content creators isn't necessarily to get all the likes and all the comments. Yes, that can help on the quest for building relationships. So I'm not going to say like, don't even try that, whatever. You know, at the end of the day, I want you to be able to talk to your people, but there's other ways you can create engagement so that that's happening if you're not going viral. One of them being the welcome DM that I just shared, right? However, your job, we have to think beyond that. How are you keeping people on the platform? This is why video can be so powerful. Because it's more likely that people are going to stay on that piece of content for longer than 3 seconds to watch a video than it is that they're just going to look at a picture of you for longer than 3 seconds. Again, pictures can still be great. That's why longer captions sometimes work well, because people might read the first quarter of your caption, which is going to keep them on the platform 3 seconds longer rather than just keep scrolling if it was just like a one-liner. This is why if you write a longer caption, like if you do a call to action or not a call to action, like something interesting at the top of your caption and you people have to hit that little more option to read the rest of your caption. Guys, that's a touch. You just told the algorithm, this person wants to stay on my content a little bit longer. If someone screenshots a post of yours, right? Maybe they want to remember it for later. The algorithm, Instagram itself, the platform knows that that action is being taken. Why do you think content creators create reels and say, get ready to screenshot? And they put a bunch of text on a reel and they have you screenshot it. It's because that is a touch. Yeah, that's not a like or comment, what we've been trained to try to create, but that is still creating engagement. There are so many forms of engagement, which again, this is why I could just call it a touch. The point is, if you can keep someone on your content just a little bit longer, I think that it's probably about 3 seconds, that is going to tell the algorithm that you are doing your job. And that is how you get rewarded for that. That is how you show up on people's discovery tabs if they're not following you. That's how you show up. You get pushed when you post. That's how you get pushed to certain people when you post content, because they have demonstrated some kind of an interest in you. So I think when it comes to the algorithm, we get so freaked out about it because we're not getting the likes or comments that we used to. So consider, how can I create more touches? How can I make it so that it's harder for people just to keep scrolling past? First page of your carousel, make it interesting enough for them to make one swipe. Just that one, that's a touch. A first line in your caption, how can you make them post the more? Click on the more. How can you get them to screenshot it? How can you get them to share it to your story? All those touches tell the algorithm a story, even if they do not like or comment or tell you that they liked that piece of content.
Ooh, now this is fascinating. So much of this is not measurable though. Mm-hmm. So there's just this trust of you're creating content with this intention, because you're not able to see that people are screenshotting or clicking the more button, or like these aren't things that we have reports on necessarily.
Yeah.
So it's more of the mindset going in to create with that intent and maybe loosening up a little bit of the metrics that we're tracking. And I say, like I'm tracking Instagram metrics. Any of you who know me know that I'm not, I'm barely on Instagram right now, let alone tracking metrics. However, I have had some interesting experiences on Instagram lately that might add to this conversation. And I haven't been posting at all. And I had a lead come through from Instagram for my new business that I have no posts about.
Oh my gosh, that's amazing. Did they share at all how they discovered you or anything like that?
I think I know. So I'll share this and maybe this ties back to something because it does. Yeah. I see where it overlaps almost from like a side angle of what you're saying. So with, and I have not, I need to like do an update episode on this new agency that I have started, but I haven't done any social about it. I haven't talked about it at all, but I started a new agency, GoToGal Media, where we're essentially doing podcast advertising. We're connecting brands who want to sponsor, and a brand could be a course creator or it could be a big company, you know, anything like that, who wants to sponsor with podcasters. So as we're reaching out to podcasters to start making these connections, we have our first clients going on here. So we're filling them, we're getting them connected. So I've been utilizing Instagram a little bit to reach out to some podcasters. You know, we're emailing too, but sometimes it's a little bit easier to reach out in a DM.
100%, yeah.
So I updated the bio of my GoToGal Instagram to just say, you know, what we do. That was it. There's no link. I don't have a different webpage yet. There's no, you know, nothing. But I just updated it. So at least if they went to look, they would see, oh, okay, that's what this is all about. And so then I randomly get a message from someone. And she's like, is this what you do? I'm like, yeah, that's exactly what we do. So we start talking. We set up a call. And I'm like, did she just search this and find it? Like, I was totally fascinated by the whole thing. I'm like, how did this happen? Because I have not done, all of our clients have come in through referrals, through relationships so far. And also through, like, as we're asking podcasters if they want to be sponsored, some of them are like, oh, well, maybe we want to be the sponsor. So so it's all happening very organically. Yeah. So I'm like, this is very random, though. This is a whole nother angle that I wasn't thinking of. Now, so when I had the conversation with her, she said she thought that she got my name from someone who I don't know personally. And so I'm like, well, that's really random that this person who I don't know would refer me. However, especially when I haven't been really out there with this business, right? However, this, I was like, wait, I feel like I recognize her name. And I had downloaded a freebie from this person. And in the freebie, she asked for your Instagram handle. And so I put my Instagram handle in when I downloaded the freebie, and she sent me a message, and I didn't even see the message. It like went to my others folder.
Yeah.
But I, of course, now that I'm like tried to backtrack this, right? Yes. I see the message sitting there. So I never even saw the message, let alone responded. But she must have gone to my account to send me the message and saw what I did. And then like a week later was talking to her client and was like, oh, you should go connect with this girl.
Oh my gosh. I bet that is totally how it happened. Do you know what I mean?
And I think so, very random.
Yeah. For me, that is such a testament to clarity in your bio. I feel like this is something that people do not see the importance, like they don't realize the importance of, but it is so important to be clear in your bio because you never know. And actually, like to answer your question earlier about like how, you know, so much of this content and how we're leveraging the algorithm, like not all of it is measurable, right? So the lesson in that is on one end, loosen up, but more than anything, don't take your engagement personally because there's a lot that you're not even aware of. And there has to be some level of trust that like the right people, if you're out there consistently enough, the right people are going to see your stuff. We have to trust that if our messaging is aligned with what we truly want to do and with the people that are our best fits, we have to trust that the right, like we cannot take responsibility for when they take action. We can just take responsibility for how we put ourselves out there, right? So that's like my big lesson with the algorithm. But right in there in itself, make sure that before you do any content strategy, before you do any relationship strategy, like you fixed your feed, right? That's like step one in my 4-part clients on social system, right? And part of fixing your feed is making sure your bio is crystal clear on who you help and how you help them and like the transformation they will see when they help you. I think there's so often people are so vague about like, you could so easily be like, yeah, I help brands reach bigger audiences, right? You could be so vague in your bio, right? But I'm sure like knowing you, you're clear so that people know like what that looks like.
I know. I'm like, what did I even put?
Imagine if that was exactly what you put.
Like, what was this? Oh, right. It's interesting. And so, yeah, I think that is important that as you're building that, yes, like having that bio. So be really clear about the transformation you provide. And sometimes the transformations are a little out there.
Yes. Yeah.
So
eyebrows, like, you know.
Well, because it's I help heart-centered entrepreneurs. I don't know what the, and it's like, well, what does that mean? Right. Yeah. And so there's always a balance between using your own branded language and, you know, and selling the bigger vision of it. But also, we don't want to commoditize what we do too much. But sometimes you just have to boil it down to what you actually do so people know. So can you give us an example of someone's transformation or what your own that you use even?
Yeah.
Of what that could be like?
Oh, gosh. Giving you a specific example might be difficult because I can't think off the spot. No, you're fine. Yeah. But I can give you some thoughts on this. Like I said, I do this bios a lot.
I know. I'm the same with you, though. And like, you need to give me a very specific, this person's, and then I can look at it. But yeah, it's hard to come out of that thin air.
I think that, so something to think about, right, is I really want you to consider the words that your audience is using when they describe what they're stuck on or what they want. So just as an example, like the name of my program, right? What the Heck to Post. I chose that specifically because I do this every time I do a new offer or a lead magnet or anything. Like I have, like, I speak to maybe 5 to 10 of my ideal clients. And I just say, hey, can I chat with you for like 15 minutes? I have a few questions. I'm creating something awesome. I want to make sure it's perfect. And in exchange, you can ask me whatever social media question you want for 15 minutes so that you feel like you've had some equal value exchange. I can help you and you can help me, right? I'm not selling anything. And people are really excited to get on these calls. And again, that's what we do. I ask my questions and it's like, what are you struggling with when it comes to social media? What's that thing where it's just like every day when you open up that app, what the heck do you wish you could get over so that you could get out there and feel confident about doing it? I don't know exactly how I word it. I have like a series of 10 questions. And they say that I kept hearing, I just wish I knew what the heck to post. Oh, if only I knew what to post. I just heard what the heck to post again and again and again and again. So I named my program, What the Heck to Post, right? I think your bio can be kind of similar. I changed mine to, I used to have, I help you show up confidently online or something. Still pretty specific. And also like that was kind of what I was doing. But if I'm being honest, I was afraid to speak to a result because I was afraid of sounding like I was guaranteeing a result. So I think this is a lot of the reason why people sometimes back off of being too specific. They're like, what if I can't get that? Or what if I close the door on someone else because I was too specific? But I honestly feel like for me, really ask yourself, like, what is the thing that people are actually looking for? And so I changed mine just to, I help you get clients on social media. At the end of the day, my ideal client, whether they're struggling with growth, whether they're struggling with engagement, whether they're struggling with confidence, it's all in an effort to get clients. And I learned that in these calls. Yeah. So A, something to consider, are you second guessing yourself when you're coming up with your bio? Is that why it's vague? You don't want to get too specific because you're afraid you can't deliver on that. So is it more of a confidence thing? And if so, like, you know, this is about being clear. Your ideal client will not realize that you're the one for them if you are unclear. So I know how hard it is, but feel the fear and put it in your bio anyway. And the second thing is,
change it whenever you can.
Oh my God, I change it all the freaking time. I literally, right now, as I help you get clients on social, but as I expand, I'm like, you know what? I actually want to focus on this right now, or I'm selling this in 3 months. So I'm going to be that person right now. It evolves with me as I evolve. But make sure you talk to your ideal clients. Like, ask them, what is the transformation they're looking to achieve? Like, what is actually the thing that they are looking for? And speak to that language. You can elaborate in your content. You can elaborate in your highlights. There's lots of places you can elaborate, but your bio is so few characters. It needs to speak to that thing that they want, and describe it the way that they want to, that they would describe it. And I'll give you one more example for a life coach, because I feel like life coaches really struggle with this, because it's like, it's fucking life. Like, what am I going to say to that? You know, I had someone, and I was like talking to her. I was like, if there was one thing your ideal audience is really, really struggling with, she's just like, oh, I just don't know how to put that into words. She's like, and I was like, okay, never mind. Describe the experience your ideal client's having in this moment. And she's like, well, they're addicted to self-help books. And I was like, okay, that's something specific. And I was like, so if like your ideal client right now, where is she? I was like, she's in her room. She's probably on her 10th self-help book and she's feeling inspired, but she also knows tomorrow she's going to wake up and that like that hit of inspo is gone and she's facing her life again and she still hasn't moved forward, even though she's read 10 self-help books in a row. And I was like, okay, so how do you come into that? And she's like, well, I help her integrate that shit. I was like, okay, so could you say, I help you integrate the shit you learn from your self-help books? And she's like, that's exactly what I do. And so that's what became her bio, right? Maybe she'll change it, but for right now, she's helping that woman who's her ideal client, is addicted to self-help books. She's going to read that and she's going to think, holy shit, that's me. I've just finished my 10th self-help book. I don't know how to put any of those tools into practice. This woman says that she's basically like the coach is going to help me actually do that shit. This is speaking to my heart right now, not my head, because that is the experience. So consider right now, if you're to see your ideal client, what are they doing and how are you the bridge to the transformation they're actually looking to create?
Oh, such a good example there. And with both your example and this example, it also narrows down who you're talking to, right? Yes. So for you, it's you're talking to people that want clients. So only certain types of business owners are looking for clients, right? Yes. So it's subtle, but it's there. You're not going to have someone that's like, well, how do I just become an influencer? Or how do I, right?
Exactly.
Or how do I sell my handmade coffee koozies, right? Like you need, you are talking to a specific person. And so that means you're attracting them as people. And same thing for the life coach. These people are more educated on self-help. So it's subtle, right? But people that are reading that, they're like, I know this stuff, right?
Yes.
So it's like, but how do I actually integrate it? How do I actually put it into action? Those are her people, where there's probably other people, but they don't know this stuff yet. And so they may want to coach for a different reason or whatever the case. So I love that those examples also really call in the ideal people that we want to have that transformation for too.
Yes. And that's going to happen when you use the words that they would use, because your ideal client's going to be using that word. So suddenly they're like, huh, my God, I've been looking for this person forever, because you're speaking, you're in their brain. This is when you start to hear, oh my God, it's like you're reading my mind. That's when you start to hear those kinds of responses when you use their words.
Yes. Okay. Oh my gosh. I know we're getting close on time and I'm like, there's so many more directions we could go in here. I would love for you just to share a little bit about how you systematize this.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because this sending the welcome post and then the follow-up and how do you remember? And what if you want to re-engage people maybe that are not just brand new followers? Or how do you just have like a million spreadsheets? How do you keep track of all this?
Oh my God. First of all,
tell us your secrets.
Yeah. I have two spreadsheets and it's funny. I don't think you have to have a spreadsheet, but like, I don't love spreadsheets, but they do help me stay kind of organized. So I do have two, not a million. Here's how I would do this. And just so you know, anyone listening, I'm going to definitely help you right now, but this is obviously a big conversation. And I do have a training on this exact topic that I can direct you to after our chat here. So feel free, like you're going to have that. But how do I do like this particular one, especially with the welcome DM? Because you're right. These things, your DMs can get lost so easily. So step one with that, separate, you have in your Instagram DMs, I'm sure everyone listening is aware, right? You have a primary folder and you have a general folder. In my opinion, those should mean something to you. For me, general folder is where I'm having a current sales conversation. And how I identify sales conversations is anyone like this, a welcome DM would be a sales conversation, someone who I want to follow up within a week. All of those are sales conversations. Even though I'm not actively selling, I'm in the process of building a relationship with this person where in the future, it might make sense for me to invite them to a free webinar I've got where I might sell something. Right. So my general is where I have my active conversations. That's where I know I need to follow up in a few days. On my follow up Fridays, when I go into my DMs, I will go into that folder and I will do as many as I can for 15 minutes. That's how I keep on track with the follow ups and stuff like that. Now, my primary folder is everyone else. It's just people that are responding to Instagram stories that are asking me questions that are not sales related, like what kind of breed of your dog do you have? Or like things like that, that people are just being social with. They go in my other folder, which is called the primary folder. And that is just so you guys know, that's the default. So if you don't label it, Instagram will always put stuff in that folder, which is why I make that the non-sales folder, because the other one I have to consciously put it in. So that's one way.
That's brilliant. Okay, I'm already obsessed with this.
Now, the other thing that I do is, you guessed it, I'm very aware that there are certain times of year where I am actively selling. I have launches. I might be an affiliate for something. And because I am consciously showing up to social media to have conversations that I believe can convert, I have to be aware of what people are expressing pain points around, right? So when I have the welcome DM and I ask them, which one are you? I have a spreadsheet. I call it my launch spreadsheet, where I actually record, like I do this every Friday. Again, this is my follow-up time, right? I will say, here are the new conversations I had. This is name, handle. This is what they struggled with. I just mark if I have followed up with them or not. And the reason that I do that is because when it comes time to launching, so let's say 3 months, I have a webinar, I'm selling something. I will actually go into my spreadsheet and I will see, let's say it's a spreadsheet for, I don't know, hack the algorithm, right? Like I said, I don't do that anymore, but I did have for years a class where I taught people how to hack the algorithm. Inside of that algorithm class, I taught people a couple of strategies for growth and also for, God, it's been a while since I've done it, leveraging shareable content. So because those are two very specific issues, right? I have notes in my spreadsheet where people that would be aligned with those pain points. So I will DM them. I'll be like, Jacqueline, remember a couple months ago when you said, were telling me that you post all the time, but you can't grow? I remember I shared you a post to help with that. Is this ringing a bell? Jacqueline's gonna be like, yeah, I totally remember that. Okay, good. I'm so glad, because I actually have a free webinar coming up in 1 week where I'm going to teach X, Y, and Z strategy. And I actually think you'd be perfect for it. It's totally free. Let me know if you want the link. I have a 60% signup rate when I have a launch for this, because all of these people who talked to me 3 months ago are like, how the heck did this girl remember me? They're also thinking, wow, for the first time, I feel like one of these content creators actually gives a fuck about my success, because this does not happen. People do not hear from people. It's all so strategic. And yes, this is strategic, right? But I cared so much about this person that I put them on a spreadsheet so that when I could help them more deeply, I remembered them so I could give them the solution that they were looking for. Most people are just looking to cold pitch them right on the spot. They're not giving them an opportunity to build a relationship with them, right? I helped them a couple months ago. They've been following me ever since. They've seen the type of content that I've shared. On my follow-up Fridays, if I don't have a ton of DMs, I will also go into my launch spreadsheet and I will just go down the list of people and I will just like posts, comment on them, not sell, not anything. Oh my God, your dog's so cute. Hey, how are you doing? Like friendly social stuff. Because now when it comes time to that invitation, there is an actual relationship here. It takes me maybe, I try to have one conversation with a new person a day, just one. If I do that once a day, I pat myself on the back and I'm like, I've done all my social media work for the day. If I want to do more than that, which I pretty much always do, because that takes me maybe 2 minutes to connect with one new person a day, right? I can, but I don't have to. This is how I make sure I don't burn myself out on social. But I do have on Fridays, like I said, a follow-up Friday hour where I go through my DMs. I make sure all people who are followed up get followed up. I reply to my emails for my email list just for 1 hour. I am just making sure that people are hearing from me. Relationships are being built. So in 1 hour a week, this is how I make sure that list is nurtured, so that when it comes time to launch, they get invitations from me and I have a tremendous conversion rate from that effort. That's one way I systematize that. That doesn't resonate with you. There's so many other ways you can build relationships, but that's the one that I choose, because for the style of my business that I have, it just works the best in terms of making sure when it's time to launch, I don't have to worry about, oh my God, have I built enough of an audience? Because I've spent the time to nurture the people that are already in front of me.
Yes. And it's not about how big the audience is, right? No, yeah. It's about the quality, the engagement of that audience. And with the way that you're doing this, I'm not surprised that you have that high conversion rate, because you're building those genuine relationships. Oh, thank you so much for taking us behind the scenes with all this. Love all these tips and tricks and just the whole philosophy around it. I know you mentioned you have some freebies for us. So how can we stay in touch? And yes, how can we continue on with this conversation?
Oh my gosh. Thanks so much for having me. That was so fun. If you couldn't tell, I was like all out of breath because I was just like, this is my favorite topic ever. Okay. So I have a class called How to Get Clients on Social, and it takes you through my 4-part clients on social system. And if you just go to getcoachsocial.com/clients-on-social, you can get free access to that. But I hang out on Instagram. My handle is Sophia Para, just my name. I keep it simple and I'm very active there. Again, as you've probably guessed, if you follow me, you'll probably get a welcome DM from me. And I'd love to know if you heard me here, right? And you can just kind of see that in action. And I'm happy to answer any questions that come up after listening to this or beyond. But yeah, I like to hang out there. And then of course, What the Heck to Post is there for you too, especially if you're a coach who wants to get clients on social media. And that's just whattheheck2post.com.
Amazing. All right. Thank you so, so much, Sophia.
You're so welcome. Thanks for having me.
Can I just say thank you so much for listening? I don't think I say it enough, but I love that you are here. If you enjoyed today's episode, or if you've been getting value from this podcast, would you do me a quick favor? Head on over to iTunes and leave a rating and review. When you leave a rating and review, it basically tells iTunes that they need to spread the word and tell more people about this podcast. And I am on a mission to get the word out. I'm so grateful for your support. We want to make sure to shout you out too. So if you do leave a rating review, keep your eyes and ears open. We will be either shouting out on the podcast or on Instagram stories.